sincere devotee I have ever met in Krishna.
As Kishori Mataji said, as she predicted rather, I will begin by telling you a story. That's all I'm good at actually. I can't give much of lectures. So, there will be Hindi translation at the back for those who need, near Hanumanji. Hindi, yeah. Hindi translation. Sorry. जिनको हिंदी में अनुवाद सुनना है उनके लिए पीछे हनुमान जी के पास अनुवाद होगा. सो रिसेंटली आई जस्ट सॉ माई डॉटर रीडिंग वन बुक, वॉट मैन लिव बाय. वॉट टाइप ऑफ बुक इज दिस, यू नो, वॉट आर यू रीडिंग? सेड मम्मी इट्स अ वेरी नाइस बुक. आई सेड देन गिव मी, आई विल रीड इट, बिकॉज आई एम ऑलवेज केयरफुल अबाउट वॉट शी रीड्स. सो इट बिलोंग टू वन ऑफ आर डिवोटीज हू इज सिटिंग हियर इन द ऑडियंस. And I took it from her and I read it and I really liked that story. So I want to share it with you. And how it is connected to today's topic, we'll see later on. So this is a story in Russia. Maybe many of you may have read this book when you were in school. So this is in Russia. There is one very poor shoemaker. His name is Simon. And he and his wife, they stay and they live a hand-to-mouth existence. Somehow they manage to live. So they need a coat because it's very cold in winter. They need a coat. So Simon has some money with him and some money he has to collect from some farmers who owe him money. So he goes to them and he asks them for money, but they say, we don't have money, we'll give you later. So he's very disappointed. He says, I won't be able to buy the coat today. So he just drinks some vodka to get warm and he's coming back. And on the way he's just thinking, my wife is going to curse me because I spent the money on vodka and I didn't even get the coat. And as he's coming, he sees one man sitting near a shrine and he's naked. He's just sitting like this, motionless. So Simon thinks maybe some robbers have, you know, robbed him of everything and just thrown him, and maybe the robbers are around, so I should not go near him, otherwise I'll also be attacked. So he just walks ahead. Then he thinks, oh, maybe he's just a drunkard who just drank away everything, so why should I even bother? So he walks ahead. But as he walks, his conscience pricks him. He thinks, maybe he's in need. It's so cold and he's sitting naked. He won't live if he remains like this. So I should at least go and find out. So he comes back. He crosses him, goes ahead, and then he comes back. And after he comes back, he talks to him. And this man answers. He says, where have you come from? So he says, I'm not from here. So Simon says, that I know, that you're not from here. Because it's a very small village. I know everybody over here. Why have you come here? He says, because God punished me. So Simon says, God punishes all of us time to time. But tell me more about yourself. So, but he doesn't tell anything. Only thing he says is, my name is Michael. Simon gives him his own coat to wear, gives him some socks and takes him home. He says, come home. If you drink something hot, you'll feel better, because his body is almost frozen with cold. When he goes home, as he expected, his wife gives a very volcanic response. You know, you didn't bring the coat, you spent the money, and you have come with another drunkard. Just get lost. I'm not going to give you anything. So he says, just listen to me, you know. He's not a drunkard. I just found him on the road. And he explains the whole thing. And somehow seeing this man's face, her heart melts. So she gives him some hot soup, and the only piece of bread that they have, she gives it to him. She says, it's okay. So Simon asks her, what about tomorrow? She says, that we'll see. You give him the bread. So when she gives him the bread and soup, he smiles. For the first time he smiles, and it's a very beautiful smile. And then Simon tells him, look, if you want to stay with us, then you have to work. Because we are very poor, we have children, and barely we are able to manage ourselves. If you work, then it's okay. Otherwise, I can't maintain you. Michael says, I don't know any work. Simon says, don't worry, I'll teach you. And he teaches him and he picks up very fast. In fact, he starts making such good shoes that Simon's name becomes famous. His clientele increases. One day, one very rich businessman comes to Simon. He's very healthy, robust looking man, and he has a very strong voice. He comes and tells Simon that I want a pair of shoes made. and he gives him leather. He says, this is very expensive and good quality leather. I want shoes that will not tear for at least 1 year. So Simon looks at Michael, because now he's grown to depend on Michael. So Michael nods, say yes. So Simon says, okay. He takes the leather. And this man says, if anything happens to the leather, I'll catch your neck. And he goes out. And Simon gives the work to Michael. Now he knows Michael's work is, hand is very good. You do it. No, you'll do it very well. And he starts doing his own work. And after some time, when Simon comes back, he sees that Michael has cut slippers instead of shoes. And he's devastated. He says, Michael, you never made a mistake till now. And of all the days, today you had to make a mistake. Instead of shoes, you made slippers. And I'm finished. Even if I sell myself and my whole family, I won't get enough money to buy this type of leather. And Michael just smiles. In fact, Michael smiles when that man asks to make the shoes. And within few minutes, there's a knock at the door. And a man comes and he says that, I am a servant of that man who had come to you for shoes. He didn't make it. He died on the way home. And my mistress has sent me to tell you that now we need slippers. Because when they put them in the coffin, they put slippers for the dead. So shoes are of no use now. So we want slippers. So Simon says, ah, thank God, you know, I'm saved. So Michael stays with him for many more years. And after about 6 years, one day one lady comes there. And she has two beautiful daughters with her. They are twins. And these Russian girls are very cute. You may have seen, they've got very red, pinky, Kishori Mataji, we can say. You know, Russian girls, they're very fair and very healthy and they look very pretty. So Michael starts looking out of the window at them, which is very rare because he never looks out. He never talks. He just does his own work, eats, that's it. He doesn't get involved with anything. So Simon is seeing this. Michael is looking at these girls. And they come to his shop, which again is rare because he doesn't make children's shoes. But they come and that lady brings them in and she says that, can you please make shoes for these two girls? And they are taking measurements. And when Michael sees those two girls, he smiles. Then Simon takes the measurement and Simon's wife is curious. She says that, why is one of these girls limping? So that lady starts narrating. She says, these are not my children. Many years ago, their father died. He was a woodcutter, and when he was cutting a tree, the tree fell on him, he was killed. And just a few moments after their birth, their mother died. And in, just before she died, she turned and her body became heavy, cold. So she was lying on one of these children's leg. That's why her leg got bent and that's why she's limping. And I was the only one in the village at that time who was a nursing mother. So I took them and I brought them up. My own child and both of them, I used to feed my own milk. And unfortunately, my own child died when he was just 2 years. And I could not have any more children. So these two children have brought me great joy. In fact, I can't think what I would have done without these two girls. I love them more than my own life. And then she gives the measurement and she goes. And then when Simon turns, suddenly he sees that the whole room is illuminated with light. The room has become very bright. And he's looking, where is the source of light? And he sees the light is emanating from Michael's body. And he says, Michael, you know, who are you? He has asked him many times this question. But Michael never answers. But this time he answers. Michael says, I'm an angel of God. And God had sent me to one lady to bring her soul. When I went to her, I saw that she had given birth to two baby girls, twins. And she was crying, don't take me, don't take me. Who will take care of my two daughters if I die? My husband is dead and if I die, who will take care? So I got carried away by emotion and I didn't take the soul. When I went back to God, God said, go. Go and get that soul. And don't come back to me till you learn these three lessons. First, what God has given man. Second, what God has not given man. And third, what men live by. And then I found my wings fell off and I fell to the earth. Then, now I know God has forgiven me and I can go back. So Simon says, how do you know that God has forgiven you? He says, because I learned those three answers. I got the answers to those three questions. The Simon says, tell me. He says, the first time you saw me, you were going to walk away. But something in you prompted you to come back and help me. Your wife wanted to throw me out, but something in her prompted her to help me. That was the love of God that is within her. The love that God has placed within man prompts them to help. And that was the answer to my first question. What has God given man? God has given man the ability to love, to serve. Second, when I saw that man, he came, that rich man, he came and ordered shoes. I saw my friend, the angel of death, standing behind him. So I knew that this man is asking for shoes that will last for 1 year. But he is not going to live for even 1 hour. That's why I smiled. I got the answer to my second question. What God has not given man? And what is that? God has not given man the ability to know his own needs. Third, when I saw that lady coming with those two girls, I got the answer to my third question. I was also thinking, who will take care of those two children? But then I saw that somebody had raised those children as their own and brought them up with so much love. So it is not that by our own efforts that we are taken care of, but actually God makes all the arrangements. It is God who takes care of us through different people. So I got the answer to the third question, what men live by. What is that? It's the care and the love which is given to us by others. That is what we live by, not only by our own efforts. And when he said this, he said, now I have got the three answers, now I go back. And he goes back. So of course, this is a story. The name of the book is What Men Live by Leo Tolstoy. But I found it very instructive. How is it relevant to our today's topic? So we'll see, point by point. So the first thing is that God has given us the ability or the capacity to love and to serve. But many times, we don't use it properly. Many times we may get an opportunity, like Simon had an opportunity to serve him, but he also had the choice to walk away. He chose to come back and take care of Michael. So many times we have an opportunity where we can reach out to people, selflessly serve people, or sacrifice for people. But many times we say, not now. I am too busy right now. I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow or whenever. But many times that tomorrow never comes. Just we take a minute. Just close your eyes and just think. Who are the people in your life who are very dear to you, who have sacrificed something for you, or who have in any way contributed to your life? It could be your parents. It could be your past teachers. It could be your neighbor. It could be your brothers and sisters. Anybody who has contributed something to your life, just for a minute, close your eyes and think. And think, what am I doing for them? What am I doing to reciprocate with their love? Or what am I doing to show them or to express to them that I care or I am grateful? All of you, close your eyes for a minute and just think. Just a minute. Thank you. So if we just think that so many people in some way have touched our lives, have done so much for us, but how have we reached out or how have we reciprocated with the love that we have received? But we normally wait for another day to thank them or to tell them that I love you or I care for you. But just remember, don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. When you realize, it might be too late. It is no use crying over pictures. When the person is there, tell them, I care for you. Show them that you care through your actions. We may have so many good intentions in our mind, but the smallest act is greater than the greatest intention. Most of the time, our thoughts remain as intentions. They don't get converted into actions because we procrastinate. But many times that opportunity may not come again. It may happen that person is not there. It may happen you are not there. Right? Have you ever thought about it? So we should take it today. There is one very touching story about a man who called all his relatives and all his friends, and he told them that whatever you would have said about me after I die, normally when somebody dies we have a condolence ceremony, everybody comes, glorifies them, speaks good about them, right? So he called everyone and he said that whatever you would speak about me after I die, please speak today in front of me. So at least I can know what you feel about me and I can be happy when I die. Right? So why should we wait till someone dies to glorify them? Why can't we glorify them and express our love or gratitude or feelings about them when they are alive? So we should not procrastinate. We should do immediately. And this is something I have learned from my own experience by making mistakes again and again, that whenever we want to say something bad or we want to say something negative about someone, it is better to wait. Because we could be wrong. It may be a misunderstanding or we could be just wrong. So better to wait, because, or better to write it on a paper, you know, as a letter. Because then we can always tear the letter. But if we have spoken, we cannot take back those words. There are chances we'll cool down and we'll not speak those harsh words at all. But if we want to speak something good, do it immediately. Never postpone, because that opportunity may not come, because tomorrow never comes. We forget, or that opportunity may not present itself again. Second is, man doesn't know his own needs. The second lesson from that story was that man, he came and he said, what did he say? Make me shoes that will last for 1 year. But he didn't know that he is going to die within an hour. So man doesn't know his own needs. Now you may argue, somebody may say, oh, we know our needs. I need a mobile, I need a laptop, I need new salwar kameez, I need a iPod, and I need so many new hair clips for my hair, and I need a little more pocket money, and so many other things I need. But those are not needs. Those are wants. Those are wants. There is a difference between a need and a want. And to satisfy those wants, we are working so hard. We find that most people are working to satisfy their wants. We are earning money, or we are trying to climb on the ladder of success, imaginary ladder of success, which is not really success. But we are working so hard. Most of the time we are competing with others. Right? It's called comparing with the Joneses. You know, your neighbor has a car, you need a car. There's a story, I think somebody had told in Chetna festival, that some man, he was very envious of his neighbor. So when God appeared in front of him, he said that whatever my neighbor gets, I should get double of that. What is that? Correct, na? I should get double of that. So he got one house. The neighbor had one house, he got two houses. Then the neighbor got something else, he got four of that. Neighbor lost one eye. The neighbor was envious of him rather, sorry. So the neighbor, just so that he should lose two eyes, the neighbor came to know. Just so that he should lose two eyes, the neighbor plucked out one eye of his. If I pluck out my eye, one eye, he will lose two eyes. So just for that, he did that. So most of the time there is competition. I want more than what my neighbor has. And that is what is urging us to work harder. She has this, I should also have it. He has this, I should also have it. So we are working so hard. And we are always worried. We are always thinking about the future. Right? We are always actually thinking about the future. I want to get this. I want to get into this institution. I want to earn so much money. I should have so much bank balance. We are always worrying. In fact, it is said that the Sanskrit word for worry and for funeral pyre is very similar. For worry we say chinta and for funeral pyre we say chitta. It's not very much different. Why? Because one burns the living while the other burns the dead. Chitta burns a dead person, but chinta burns a living person. So most of the time we are worrying so much about the future that we can't even live in the present. We can't enjoy today because we are always thinking about the future. I have to get this, I have to get that. We can never live in the present. Sometimes it happens to me with 3 kids. I'm so busy, I'm always planning. I'm always planning, and that's why today goes in a mess always. I'm always planning for tomorrow. I have to do this, I have to do this. So I can't relate to today. Because I'm always thinking that for tomorrow I have to plan. For next week I have to plan. Children's project is there, this is there. So I'm always planning. Then one day I just thought, sir, I'm only planning, but I'm not executing. I'm not able to execute because most of my time goes in, the energy goes just in planning. There is no energy left to execute at all. So all our energy goes into doing these activities, satisfying our wants. But if we actually analyze, we see that all these things that we are doing are based on one basic precept, that is, I am the body. Whatever we are doing for the body. We think that this body is me, I am this body, so this is all in all. I have to take care of this body and everything related to it. So all our energy goes in body. There is a story about a king who had 4 wives. The first wife was very beautiful. He used to take care of this wife and give all attention to her, give her whatever she wanted, buy her the best of things. The second wife he used to take out with him. He liked to display her wherever he went out. The third wife he would share his feelings, his thoughts with her. But the fourth wife he always neglected, although she was very faithful. One day he came to know that he is going to die. So he called his wives. He asked the first wife that, you are the dearest to me, you know, will you accompany me on this journey? She said, I will be the first one to leave you. The second wife he called. She said, as soon as you die, I will go to somebody else. The third wife, she said, I can come with you only till the Smashan Ghat. The fourth wife said, I will be with you. I am with you always. Whatever you may be, wherever you may be, I will always be with you. Then the king realized that, oh, I neglected her. But actually she is the most faithful. I should have given her time. So who is that first wife? The first wife is the body. We take so much care of the body. We decorate, we dress up so nicely, and everything we do for the body. But who is the first one to leave? At death, the body leaves. The body is burnt, right? The second one is our wealth, our property, or our degrees. Not degrees, but wealth and property so much. That as soon as we die, what happens? Main turant kisi aur ki ho jaungi. Immediately they go to somebody else. Like Kailash's sons were saying, father died, poor thing, but all his property we have got. So we are happy. So whole life somebody works hard, but ultimately somebody else enjoys that. The person who is working doesn't even get it. So second one is property. Immediately becomes somebody else's. Third one is relatives. Till where can they come? Even though they may be very dear to you, but they can come only till the Smashan Ghat. Beyond that, nobody can accompany you. But the fourth one is the soul. The soul and the Paramatma is the only one. The super soul and the soul are always together. The Paramatma accompanies the soul on his journey. All of us are alive because there is Paramatma within our body. Right? So the Paramatma is always accompanying us. But all our life we are helping only those, we are taking care of only those 3 wives. What about the 4th wife? So we have to think about that today. Because nothing else will go with us. Right? When somebody dies, can they take anything with them? They cannot take anything with them. Once there was a king and a sadhu came to him and was trying to preach to him. But kings, as you know, they have so much opulence and they are so comfortable with everything that he was not willing to listen. He said, no, enemies are going to attack. I have to fight. I have to collect more wealth. I have such beautiful queens and children. How can I take to spiritual life now? Similar, Kailash was doing the same thing. Not now, I have so much responsibility, I have to do this, that. I'll do it later. But tomorrow never came. He had to give up the human form of life. And he had to give up, he lost that opportunity. So this king also wouldn't take to spiritual life. Then one day the sadhu came to him and told him that, "Oh king, I have very sad news for you." "What is it?" "You are going to die within few days." "Oh, how sad." "But don't worry, I have some good news for you also." He says, "What is that good news?" "You are going to go to heaven." "Oh, very good. I can continue with my enjoyment." He said, "But you know, there are a lot of mosquitoes in that place where you are going to go." He said, "Oh, so then what should I do?" So sadhu said, "Don't worry, there are mosquito nets over there." So king said, "Oh, good. But that, there are a lot of holes in the mosquito nets. So what do you suggest?" So the sadhu said, "You can take one needle and thread with you. So you can, you know, stitch up when you go. There's no needle and thread over there. Lot of nets, but no needle and thread." So king said, "Okay." And then when he started thinking, he thought, "Arey, how can I take needle and thread? Because the body is burnt. How do I take? How do I carry a needle and thread?" So immediately he called the sadhu. He said, "But Maharaj, I can't even carry a needle and thread with me. How do I take it with me?" So sadhu said, "That's what I was trying to tell you. You can't even take a needle and thread with you. Why are you wasting your time? Chant the names of the Lord. That's the only thing that can accompany you." So we are wasting so much time. I don't say it's a waste of time. We have a body, so we have to take care of it. Right? We need to do the needful. But we are endeavoring so much and we are struggling so much in just polishing the cage. We are taking care of the cage, but we are not taking care of the bird which is inside the cage. So we have to be conscious of this fact that one day death will come. We are saying we will do things, we will do this, we will take to spiritual life later on. But that tomorrow may never come. We see it all the time. The Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Yaksha, there is a story in Mahabharata. The Yaksha asked Yudhishthir Maharaj that what is the most amazing thing in this world? The Yaksha asked him what is the most amazing thing, and Yudhishthir Maharaj said that the most amazing thing is that we are seeing death all around us. Every day, every moment, we are seeing that people are dying. But what do we think? It will not happen to me. I am an exception. It may happen to everybody, but it will not happen to me. Yet we are seeing it all the time. We are seeing it in the papers, right? It doesn't spare anybody. There's one thing that is sure when we are born. What is that? Death. As sure as death. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu. That the moment you are born, there's one thing sure, that we are all going to die. And that's what we read in the papers all the time. There's an earthquake somewhere, there's a bomb blast somewhere. All the time something or the other is going on. And it's not necessary that something big has to happen. Some small thing could be the reason for a death. I remember once our Guru Maharaj was telling us that there was one man who used to speak on naturopathy. He used to conduct seminars, you know, on natural living and how to be healthy. And he was very healthy. In fact, he had undergone so many examinations. The doctors had certified he had no mucus and no bad substances in his body. He was fully healthy, perfectly healthy. So one day he gave a seminar on naturopathy, natural living and all that. And when he came out of the auditorium, there was oil fallen over there. He slipped on the oil and he died. So he didn't die because of any disease. But he was destined to die. He just slipped on oil and he broke his head and he died. So it can happen to anybody. Somebody can get, just today one of our devotees was telling us that yesterday night one of our devotees' mother passed away. She got a heart attack and she died. So she was telling me that her husband had a heart attack. He had a pacemaker fitted in his chest. So everybody was worried about him. But he is still there. And this lady had absolutely no problem. She was healthy as far as I know. Maybe she had some problem. But at least there was no indication of her getting a heart attack. But suddenly she got a heart attack and she died. And the devotee who is sitting here in the audience with us, she was saying that this devotee, every time she would meet me, she would say, "Please come to my house, you know, for prasad. And please come." And this devotee would say, "I'll come later, I'll come later." And today she's saying, "How I wish I had gone." Because now she is not there. So many times, we see that the people who are very near and dear to us are passing away. Sudden heart attack, suddenly some disease which you have not heard of strikes and the person dies. But the wonderful thing is, we think that we are exempt from this law. It won't apply to us. If we thought that it applied to us, then we would not act in this way. Not only on the bodily platform, we would also see to the needs of the soul. So whatever we are attending to are the wants. But what is the need? The need is of the soul. Just as we feed the body, we also need to feed the soul. But we feel, arey, bahut time hai. Kabir ka doha. What was it earlier? Now it has changed. Kabir didn't change it, but somebody else changed it. What was it earlier? Kal karo so aaj karo. Aaj karo. Somebody knows it? Aaj karo so ab. Pal mein parlay hogi. Bauri karoge kab. What is the modern version? आज करो सो कल करो, कल करो सो परसों, इतनी भी क्या जल्दी, जीना है जब बरसो. हाँ, सो द होल बेसिस ऑफ प्रोक्रेस्टिनेशन इज दैट बरसों जीना है, दैट वी आर गोइंग टू लिव फॉर एवर. अनफॉर्चुनेटली इट्स नॉट गोइंग टू हैपन. वी आर नॉट गोइंग टू लिव फॉर एवर. देर इज वन स्वीपर इन जगन्नाथपुरी. देर इज अ स्टोरी वी हैव हर्ड दैट ही यूज्ड टू स्वीप द टेम्पल ऑफ लॉर्ड जगन्नाथ एंड एवरी डे समबडी वुड आस्क हिम, यू नो, दर्शन करके आए क्या, हुआ है क्या मंदिर में. मैं तो इधर ही हूँ, आई एम योर, आई गो सम टाइम एंड टेक दर्शन. एंड दैट मैन डाइड विदाउट एवर टेकिंग दर्शन ऑफ जगन्नाथ, बिकॉज यू आई एम योर, व्हाट द हरी, आई गो. ही डाइड विदाउट टेकिंग दर्शन ऑफ जगन्नाथ इन स्पाइट ऑफ बींग देयर विद इन दोज वेरी प्रिमाइसिस. सो दैट कैन हैपन टू अस, ऑल्दो अपॉर्चुनिटी इज जस्ट देयर, बट वी डोंट टेक इट. And don't think that at young age nothing will happen. My own daughter, when she was just 4 years old, she contracted lymphoma, which is cancer of the stomach. Now, I never knew she is going to fall sick. She had no health problems, but just suddenly one day the blow came. Luckily, by the mercy of Krishna, the prayers of the Vaishnavas, she recovered. And today she is fit. But at that time, it was shocking for me, because I never expected it. And when I went to the hospital, I saw so many other children like her, suffering. So many children. If you see them, they are so beautiful. You don't know they have disease. You don't know that they are suffering. But it can come any time. There was one student who came to Krishna consciousness, but he was also very ambitious. And he was studying very hard. And for some time, he stopped chanting and coming for programs, because he wanted to score well in the exams for future prospects. And the day his exams got over, the devotees came and told him that you come now for the program. And he said, I'll come, but actually there's a party. No, not the day his exams got over, sorry, his results came. He topped. And he said, there's a party organized for me by my friends, so I'll go for the party. So he didn't come for the satsang, he went for the party. And there were drinks and everything, and he was dancing on the floor. And suddenly he got chest pain and he collapsed and he died on the spot, because he got a heart attack. But after that, all the other friends started coming for the satsang. That's a different story. But he lost that opportunity. He didn't take the opportunity when it was there. So definitely, all the other things we do are important. We're not trying to minimize the importance of studies or taking care of the body or attending to our relatives. All those things have to be done. But along with that, we should not forget the main reason why we have got this human form of life. The main reason of the human form of life is so that we can elevate ourselves and go back to the spiritual world. There are so many species of life, and after passing through all those species, we have got this human form of life. And in this human form of life, if we don't use the body for what it is meant for, what happens? Like Kailash, we'll be going down. It's like a ladder. You cannot remain at one point. Either you go up or you come down. So we have to take that opportunity now. We should not wait. I'll give you an example of college. All of you go, most of you must be going to college or have already finished college. So when we are in college, we do so many things, right? We may be attending youth festivals. We may have so many extracurricular activities. We have our friends. We socialize. We do everything. Yet, we never forget that we have to study, because that was the purpose for coming to college. that we have to study and we have to give those exams, graduate for higher prospects. So the college in itself, college life itself is not the destination or the goal. It is a journey which helps you to progress and go ahead to get better prospects. Similarly, the human form of life is not the end in itself, the enjoyment or whatever facilities they have got. It is a journey. It is a journey where at some point you have to get off and make a choice. Either you go up or you go down. And the choice we are making at every moment in our life by the activities that we are doing. So that's why now is the time to ask the questions. Who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? How to face death? All these questions we should ask today. In India, earlier what used to happen? That when people wanted to go to cinema, they used to tell the mother, Mummy, mandir ja raha hu. And they would go and see pictures. But today, unfortunately, the state of affairs, that if somebody wants to come to a temple, they have to tell their mummy, picture dekhne ja raha. Ha, ja beta, maja kar ke ha. And then they have to come to a temple. Because parents say, are, is age mein? अभी दादी माँ के एज तक पहुंच जाओगे तभी कर सकते हो. अभी से क्यों? द पेरेंट्स डिस्करेज. व्हाट द नीड टू टेक टू स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ नाउ? वैरागी बन जाएगा, सब छोड़ छाड़ के आ जाएगा. नहीं नहीं, मंदिर नहीं जाने का, ज्यादा नहीं जाने का. ओनली वंस इन अ वे यू शुड गो, थोड़ा अगरबत्ती चढ़ा के वापस आ जाने का. शुड नॉट गेट टू मच इन्वॉल्व यू नो विद ऑल दीज थिंग्स, बिकॉज दे आर स्कैर्ड. दे आर स्कैर्ड बिकॉज दे फील इट विल इंटरफियर विद योर सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन, बिकॉज दे डोंट नो. They don't know that our human form of life is meant for something higher. That is why devotees prepare themselves. When we hear, when we come regularly and when we hear what is the goal of life, I am not the body, I am the soul. It's not that immediately we start acting on the platform of the soul. It's not that I don't feel hungry or I don't feel tired or I don't wear nice clothes. Right? Even I have my own desires. I also have to do whatever I have to do. But at the same time, we are also making preparation for that time. There will be one day when tomorrow will not come. Right? There will be one day. When there was a bomb blast in Ahmedabad, the people had not thought that there is going to be a bomb blast. When there was an earthquake in Latur, the people had not thought that there is going to be an earthquake. But it came, sure enough, and it didn't spare anyone, young or old. Right? So one day there is going to be an explosion in our own life. It may come anyhow. It may come from within as a heart attack or it may come externally. We don't know, but we have to make the preparation. There is a story of a man who was shipwrecked. And he was, when he came to shore, he was unconscious. When he woke up, he saw some tribals looking at him. So he got scared. He thought, maybe they are cannibals. Maybe they will eat me up. So they reassured him, no, no, don't worry. And when he woke up, actually, they actually gave him bath with fragrant water. They put nice clothes on him and they made him sit on a throne. And they put a crown on his head. He said, what is this? He said, this is our custom. If any man is washed ashore, we make him the king. So he was very happy. He was enjoying himself over there. He had no choice anyway. He couldn't go back, for his ship was wrecked. But one day, somehow he came to know that along with that custom, they had one more custom. And what was that custom? That man could be king for 1 year. And after that year, at the end of that year, he would be taken and marooned on another island. He would be just left on that island. Because he must have asked, where is your earlier king? Where is he? So somebody must have told him, he is there, you know, facing his karma. So he thought, now I have to do something. So he was very intelligent. So when he was a king, he started preparing for that eventuality. He started making regular trips. Of course, we can't make trips to heaven to make arrangements for ourselves. But he started making trips to that island and he planted trees over there and he dug wells, means he got his people to dig wells and he built a house and all the things that would help him to survive. He did all those things. So that when that year came to an end, he was fully prepared. So similarly, the devotees of the Lord, it is not that devotees won't die. It is not that when we chant or when we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, we won't die. Everybody has to die. Even Brahma has a lifespan. Even Brahmaji, who is the creator, has a lifespan. But the difference is that a devotee of the Lord knows that he is going to die one day and he makes the preparation for it. He makes full preparation. I'll give you one example. If you go to America, what do? You may pack your bag, you may buy nice clothes and maybe take some gifts for your relatives over there. But there's one very essential thing you have to do. Can someone tell me? Visa, passport, anything else? Very good. You need dollars, right? Your rupees won't work over there. So you have to convert your rupees into dollars when you go to America. Similarly, when we give up this body, all the money we have earned, all the degrees we have earned, or whatever we may have done, it cannot accompany us. It won't work. But whatever we have done in terms of service or charity or devotional service, that accompanies us even after we leave the body. That is the only thing, the pious credits that we have got by rendering some service to Krishna, to his devotees or anywhere. Not only devotional service, even if somebody has performed any charitable activities. It is said that if somebody digs a well, he will never go thirsty in his next life. You know, if somebody gives lot of donation, he will not be poor in his next life. So whatever activities we have done, whether philanthropic or spiritual, those are the only things which will accompany us to the next life. The only difference between the philanthropic and the spiritual activity is, the philanthropic activities will bring us back to this material world, where again you have to go through the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. Whereas spiritual activities have the power to release you from the cycle of birth and death and take you back to the spiritual world. My spiritual master used to always say this, that the human form of life is a key to get out of this prison of material existence. But many times people lose the key before they even use the key. We lose, like Kailash lost the key. He lost his human form of life before he even used it. So let us not make that mistake. Let us grab this opportunity and take to the process where we can get something which will give us permanent benefit. Let us not wait till tomorrow. So his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he gave us this very blissful process. Normally when we think of spiritual life, we are worried. Maybe somebody will tell us to go to the Smashan Ghat and observe dead bodies to get Vairagya. Or we have to become renounced. We have to leave everything. People are scared. Why are mothers scared when sons go to the temple? Because they feel ki he will leave everything. But it is not necessary. Right? Especially for girls, obviously you can't leave everything. You have to do your responsibilities. You will get married. You have to take care of your family. We have to do everything. But Prabhupada introduced such a process, such a wonderful process, which is so practical and yet which is so blissful. It gives you so much pleasure. Who doesn't like to eat prasad? Who doesn't like to sing and dance? Right? Only thing Prabhupada said, whatever you do, do it for the pleasure of the Lord. When we sing, when we dance in kirtan, when we eat Krishna prasad, when we chant, when we hear about Krishna, it's a very enjoyable process. We are not expected to perform great austerities like sitting. Like you may have observed, I have changed my position so many times. In Kali Yuga it is very difficult, like you know, sitting like this. At least I can't do it. I am so grateful to Prabhupada for this process. I would not have been able to do Ashtanga Yoga. It's very difficult to control the mind and to sit in a particular posture. It is very difficult. But not only because it is difficult, but because this is a recommended process for Kali Yuga. Harinam Sankirtan. Even Arjuna, he tells Krishna that this process is very difficult of controlling the mind. And Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that, think of me. Whatever you do for me. Worship me and surrender to me. So if we can just follow this simple process, Krishna said it in the Bhagavad Gita, but Prabhupada actually gave us a facility for implementing this, for putting it into practice. Prabhupada often said that my temple is not just a place where people come and just matha take ke chale jate. It is a place where you can actually put into practice the principles of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Once a devotee was telling us, he said, there are many temples in India. We didn't need more temples. In Vrindavan, there are, I think, more than 5,000 temples. 5,000? More than 5,000 temples. So why do we need more temples? But the ISKCON temples are built with a particular purpose. It is to demonstrate to people that you can actually live the Bhagavad Gita. It's not just a philosophical or theoretical knowledge which has to be kept on the bookshelf. It is something that you can actually put into practice in a very, very simple way. Whatever you eat, offer it to Krishna and eat. Eat Krishna Prasad. Whatever you do, offer the fruits of that to the Lord. Think of Krishna. Chant His names. Associate with His devotees. Hear Krishna Katha and make your life blissful. You don't need to leave anything. You can perfect your life just by following this simple process. So all of us have this opportunity. If we do this, we can be sure that we will be preparing, we are collecting credits. You know, in Govardhan, has anyone gone to Govardhan, Vrindavan? In Govardhan, that is the hill which Krishna lifted, there are many people who build, they put stones one on top of the other. So once I was very curious, you see, I asked somebody that what is this? So they said that this signifies that they want a residence in Vrindavan, in Govardhan. They are building a house, you know, they are putting one stone on the other. They are praying actually that let us get residence in the Dham. So actually every time we are doing any service, every time we are chanting, every time we are hearing, every time we are doing kirtan or even eating prasad or even dancing in the kirtan, we are laying one brick. We are actually building a house for ourselves in the spiritual world. So we have got this wonderful process. Now we just have to take it. Devotees are blissfully doing all these things. Why? Because they know that even after they leave their body, they are going to do the same things. In the spiritual world, they are just going to continue where they left off. That is why a devotee, a pure devotee, is not scared of death. Because he knows that when I die, what's going to happen? I'm going to leave this body and I'm going to be doing the same things. Which I was doing here, I'm going to be doing it there. Only without the limitation of this material body, which only creates problems. So we have this wonderful opportunity to know the difference between the body and the soul. To know who is God. How to face death. How to overcome the fear of death. Right? All of us somewhere have the fear of death within us. Right? Nobody wants to die. Even if you see a cockroach, you try to hit it, it will run away. He may have not heard Bhagavad Gita, but he knows that marenge to mar jaunga. He knows I am going to get scared and I am going to die. So everybody is fearful of death. But we have an opportunity to make ourselves fearless. Once when you were preaching in Somaya College, one of the professors, she came to me and she said that I want to know how to die. So I don't want to die like, you know, if somebody is in a house where they have not paid rent and they are just thrown out of the house. I don't want to die like that. I want to go in a very graceful way. I don't want to be embarrassed at the time of death. So how should I die? So I said, you have come to the right place. Come in. It's not that when you come here you die. Everybody is going to die. But when you come here, we are taught actually how to prepare. So it's not being pessimistic. You know, sometimes when we say we are going to talk about death, people may feel, oh, you are being so pessimistic. Why are you talking about death? Now if I see a student and I tell the student, look, the exam is round the corner. Please study for your exam. Please prepare for your exam. Am I being pessimistic? I'm being realistic. I'm being practical. Plan. When you know something is round the corner, work for it. Prepare for it. So that's not being pessimistic. And it doesn't mean that we have to know that we are going to die. Right? It's not that somebody has to tell me I'm going to die within 7 days and then I will become serious. Not necessary. We can start preparing from now so that when the time comes, we are fully prepared. We are fully ready. So we should be very, very grateful that we have got this human form of life in which we have intelligence. We can use our intelligence to understand that there might be a day when tomorrow will not come. And we should not postpone. We should not wait that till we are old. Once I finish this, then I will take to spiritual life. Once I have children, then I will take to spiritual life. Once my children grow up, then I will take to spiritual life. But that day may not come. So So we should take to spiritual life today. In the where it is, Brahmaji, he says that Atato Brahma Jigyasa. He says now is the time to inquire about Brahma, about spiritual knowledge. Not tomorrow. Do it today. Don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Radharani Mataji. Once again, once more, we will tell very gratefully three times Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
She has given us such a wonderful knowledge in the story form, as I had told you earlier. Right? You will remember all the stories today? Yes? I just wanted to add a small story. It is not a story, this is a real fact. This year in the month of May. So in the month of May, this also has happened, not in here, in Russia. There is a place called Kyiv. Kyiv has a very big temple like Radha Gopinath temple, and there are many visitors. And also, if you don't know, Kyiv is a place, Ukraine is a place where there are many medical colleges, and in those medical colleges many Indian students go to study. So there was a group of students who were studying, and one girl, she became a devotee, and then she was practicing Krishna consciousness, and she was aspiring for diksha. What is diksha? Is initiation, where you take a vow from the spiritual master that I will do certain things and in front of God, and for the rest of the life you do all those things. So in the month of May, our spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, had gone to Kyiv for initiation, and he usually visits there only once in 3 years or once in 2 years. So there are many people who are waiting to take diksha from him. So this year when he went, there are many devotees who are waiting, and he was there only for a week. He did wonderful programs, but somehow or other he was very sick. So he decided that he will not give diksha. And he was supposed to leave to go to London from Kyiv. And his flight was around, he had to leave at 5 o'clock to catch a flight of 8 o'clock. Suddenly at 4:30 he was walking in his room, and he told the temple president that call all the people who have come to take diksha. I will give them diksha today only. And it was a very surprising thing. And all the people who are waiting for diksha, they are very excited. Somehow or other, it's happening. Our diksha is happening. They all came in Radhanath Swami's room, and they gave their vows, and the initiation happened. And they said, our spiritual master told that you will do the fire sacrifice. You all come back after from the airport, and then you do the fire sacrifice. So all the devotees started going towards the airport. On the way to airport, they saw there was a big accident. So devotees, you know, they were going, they were rushing in the cars. And even our spiritual master, he stopped there. He prayed and then he left. When all the devotees came back to the temple to perform the yajna, they realized that some people are less. To take initiation, in the room there were many people, but some people are less. And then they found out that the accident which had happened was one car which was packed with just initiated devotees, which was going. And out of that, one lady, she left her body on the spot